Hi, my name is Eric Edwards. I played Pearl on the phenomenal movie Blade, and this is the Vampire Movie Minute.
Dave from DC Dave from the Crisis on Infinite Earths podcast is joining me for these minutes of 80 to 85.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies that we choose to cover on the network. As we're running out Blade, we're going to start in, I believed, May, but it might be in June now. We're going to cover Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person. Quite the mouthful of a movie title, but it's a fantastic vampire movie that's got some dark humor. It's got some cute characters in it. The main vampire is a female vampire who gets shunted from her family, and she has to go find a victim to bite because she's been drinking out of blood bags. She happens to meet a 16-year-old boy who wants to kill himself. How dark is that?
That's dark, but that feels like a redemption story in the making.
It has a good ending, I will say that. But it answers the question, if you kill yourself, who do you leave behind? It's a good movie. It's like Let the Right One In, but it like definitely like 5 years older. You know what I mean? Because these are two older teenage vampires. She's like 17. She's like 117. It's like Mavis in Hotel Transylvania. She's like 117, and he's like 17. You know what I mean? So right. They're not like 10 and 12. You know what I mean? Which was cute, but there's nothing really there for you to grab onto because they're cute little kid vampires. But these are like teenage vampire and a kid with high school problems. So I can relate to this a little bit more, especially since I have mental health problems as well. Tonight we're not talking about that movie though. We're talking about Blade minutes 80 to 85 here on the podcast, and we begin with Blade just kicking ass in Deacon Frost's place. One thing we forgot to mention in the last episode is Deacon telling Donald Lowe's character to shut the fuck up because he's doing he throws the thing in the air, he does the thing, and he's just like, Donald Lowe's like pantomiming Blade and Deacon's making fun of him, and then he's like, shut the fuck up.
Yes, I agree. I am disappointed we didn't mention it because that was fantastic. And that kind of highlighted the whole movie for me as well. The whole movie was a lot of fun. I got a lot of joy out of watching this film. And for somebody, like I said last episode, who's not a vampire person or into horror or anything like that, watching this film, there were maybe one or two moments where it was like, oh, that's a little too far for me. But at the end of the day, there was so much humor that was expertly woven into this film, and it wasn't hitting you over the head or trying to distract you. It worked really well for me.
And I knew maybe one African-American person in 1998, maybe two. But I don't remember, did Blade's hairstyle become a big thing in the African-American community amongst black people? Because it is killer. It is so well done. I'm like, I hope more black people adopted this look. Kind of like a lot of white women would adopt Rachel's haircut from Friends. That's the comparison.
Well, Blade is a badass.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh,
there's
they
no
cast it perfectly with Wesley Snipes. Oh. Could Mahershala Ali do this? Possibly. He's got two Oscars under his belt. Is he ever going to do it? No. He's going to make Jurassic Park World 3, 12, whatever it is, with Scarlett Johansson. That's already signed on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's disappointing. We probably will never get an actual Blade film because I really would like to see the MCU kind of expand out into the other genres, like these types of films, and I thought they were poised to do that when they had the wonderful Michael Giacchino directed Man-Thing Werewolf by Night.
That was incredible. We're supposed to be getting another one finally. I know we're getting the Punisher short film too, One Last Kill, which is going to either take place before or after Spider-Man. It comes out before Spider-Man, but anyway, I digress. Did you ever go to a local sword? You remember how there were like swords being sold in the mall? Did you ever see Blade's sword being sold at the mall?
Oh boy, probably. I got to imagine if not there, then at every convention under the sun, because there's always a sword shop or two or three at a convention to this day. So I got to imagine it was there.
I also got to point out that the woman at the beginning of the film, because we're at the scene where Blade meets his mom, and this happens around the 126 mark, and he's never met his mom outside of the faint memory of seeing her when he was born, probably latent vampire memory. Kind of strange. The woman at the beginning of the film, I understand, is supposed to be have just had a traumatic incident. She's bleeding out. She just gave birth, so she's a little pale, no pun intended. But it looks very different than the woman we meet coming out of the coffin, the Hydra Seal coffin.
Yeah, it took me a minute to kind of get that we were supposed to be looking at the same woman.
Yeah. This character also appeared on the Spider-Man animated series. Like, she's definitely a darker shade of brown, whereas in the beginning of the movie, she just looked like she was just whited out. Maybe it's the lighting. Maybe they just did a really good job with the makeup. Blood loss probably loses pigmentation in the skin. They look like very different women. Hairstyle aside, you know, she's got a 90s style haircut here at the beginning of the movie. You have to think that took place in the 70s, possibly, or the late 60s. Because Blade is about 30. Okay, 1967. Yeah. So Blade is about 30-something years old at this point, 32. But this character also appeared in the Spider-Man the Animated Series. She was like Queen of the Vampires at the time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was awful. It was not good. She looked like they cut the head off of... They looked like they cut a black woman's head off and stuck it on the body of Lestat. With the fruffle looking coat and shirt and everything.
Oh, wow.
It looked awful.
I know everybody loves that Amazing Spider-Man series, but maybe some questionable choices there.
Yeah, so when Blade meets his mother for the first time, he's got, like, it's so well lit, too. It's crazy. The whole movie is dark most of the time. And this entire scene, you get to see all of Blade's, like, costume and everything up until the point that, you know, Frost shows up with the taser gun.
Yeah, and you know, actually, that's always my complaint about most movies is just how dark they are. And, you know, yes, this film is a dark movie, a lot of it taking place at night or in dark places. I'm actually really impressed with the cinematography in this, that it wasn't so dark. That because to me, these days, movies just get so dark when they're not even trying to be really dark and creepy. So I really liked that it wasn't as dark as I might expect these days, but yeah, this scene, it's interesting. The very stark, you know, African-American people, the white room, white clothing, you know, although Blade is wearing his black clothing. So you got this, you know, feeling of, you know, black and white and very stark contrast. And, you know, that speaks to good and evil. And, you know, especially when you've got the person who turns out to be evil because she's a vampire in white, and you have Blade who is good in black. So kind of turns your expectations on its head for what you might expect to see from characters dressed in this way.
Blade is dumped into a pit with Karen, which, by the way, I'm going to point out that the entire time Blade is getting beaten up by the vampires and tased, his mother doesn't do anything. She just like looks on and just being like, "That's my son, the disappointment." Like, wow, you're a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Empathy is certainly not a vampiric trait, is it?
No. Blades continue getting, like, what kind of tasers do you think these are? These are cattle prods?
They have to be because he's got superhuman abilities. I mean, he's got vampiric abilities, so it's not going to be the taser you're picking up down at the corner store.
I also want to point out that Deacon's girlfriend, Mercury, it looks phenomenally hot in this scene, just like Jesus Christ. My favorite scene of her, by the way, is right after that annoying cop is killed and her and Deacon like make out and the blood is all over their face. Just like the hottest scene. But that's just like my inner love vampire, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Donald Lowe, so many comic book credits. He appears once again. He's got Blade sunglasses now. You know, he was, of course, for DC fans, who did he play?
Oh. Oh, now see, I don't know.
Who did he play? You need to quit your DC podcast. Call yourself a DC fan. He was Harvey Bullock. He's the only live-action Harvey Bullock.
Oh, okay, okay.
And he played Harvey Bullock perfectly. A little grizzled with the unshaven face, but he was a perfect Harvey Bullock, especially if all you know of Harvey is from the Batman the Animated Series.
Wow, yeah, I did not put two and two together.
For 5 years on Gotham, he played, he was a primary character on that.
Wow. Well, he did a great job. He pissed me off with the whole sunglasses thing.
Yeah. He punches Blade, like, right in the face while he's standing there. And, of course, we have the Vampire Council. The one thing I don't understand is these are supposed to be ancient vampires. They can't take out some pipsqueak like Frost and his goons, aren't they? Last time I checked, like, in Vampire Hunter D lore, and the 5 minutes ends with Mercury taking out Blade's katana about to kill somebody, but I digress. In Vampire the Masquerade, which is the live-action role-playing game, as you get older, you become more powerful. I mean, how old is Frost, really? Like, how old are these vampire ancient, like, guardians of the 12 houses? They could...
I mean, did they just get really... like lazy?
I think it was like, okay, we got to wrap this film up. We got like 20, 30 minutes left. Actually, we have 30 minutes left according to the screen grab that I have right now.
Yeah, I was a little shocked. I was thinking this film was wrapping up at this point.
No, it's not. I'm like, holy cow, I thought I was wrapping up this podcast too. Nope, I still have plenty of episodes I have to record, so. This is a full 2 hours.
I was a little concerned when Mercury killed the one elder because I thought, well, you know, they need the 12 elders. So I assume they had somebody else. They had more than one from each of these lines. Otherwise, she kind of ruined the whole thing.
Hmm. This is the most useless vampire council ever. But what I was going to say was in Blade 2, the whatever's left of the ancient vampires, which they're probably a bunch of them all over the place, the one that hires Blade to work with the Blood Pact, he thanks him for killing Deacon Frost because he was an annoyance and causing the vampire community problems.
Well, of course. Of course. Now, speaking of Blade 2, now I'm anxious to get into the other two films, having not seen any of them, right?
Uh-huh.
And let me just throw a quick shout out to my daughter who actually works for Universal Studios. Because she does, she has a Peacock membership, and that is where I was able to watch Blade.
Oh, excellent. What does she do at Universal Studios?
Right now she is taking tickets because she is just a youngin', but she is about to try out for some... theatrical roles.
Oh, excellent.
Not movies, but in the park.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Jurassic Park. I don't know what else Universal owns. MonsterVerse stuff. No, that's Godzilla.
She's a huge MonsterVerse cosplayer.
Honestly, I can't remember off the top of my head what Universal owns other than like Jurassic Park. And they own like their versions of the Universal monsters. Jaws. They own Jaws too, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
They've got the rights to Harry Potter.
I thought Harry Potter was Warner Brothers.
Well, they have the theme park rights to Harry
Potter. The theme park, yeah. Just like they have the theme park rights to the Marvel Universe, even though Marvel's owned by Disney. And Disney doesn't have any plans to end that because it's like, why? You pay us money for an IP we own.
Exactly.
Just split the difference. Like, why destroy something that's making money and then repack it up and move it to Disney World? There's no
right,
point.
Right.
There is no point, so.
But yeah, so the end of this scene, you know, they're getting everybody ready to go. They're queuing up killing off this council of 12. And yeah, it's a little disappointing that the council was a little neutered here at the end. I was, and actually I kind of felt that way through the whole film. If I have one criticism, it's that they should have seen Deacon Frost coming from a mile away and not put up with him at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Did you, I know you probably didn't read it, but do you know about the Blood Hunt storyline Marvel just did last summer?
No, I don't.
Not this past summer, 24. There was a company-wide crossover, as Marvel will do every 6 months, before even some of the last ones ended. They already start the next one. they did one involving vampires. And I was so excited because the artwork was being done two ways. You could get the regular artwork, or you could get the red band one. And the red band had extra pages for an extra dollar that were explicit adult content. And they're doing that with the Punisher right now. And yeah, and let me tell you something. It was showing you the ramifications of a vampire infestation of New York, with bodies being left in the streets and stuff, limbs torn off and things like that. Vampires chowing down on babies. It was hardcore.
Wow.
Yeah, like someone screaming, "My baby, my baby," as you see a vampire holding onto a baby before Iron Man just repulsor blasts them. And then the vampires, like, defeat the Avengers. And it's like, they're like, how? It's because the vampires are being led by Blade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Blade was an Avenger at the time. He was the liaison to the vampire community in Russia. Their vampires were living in Chernobyl. And it turned into, like, a vampire community led by Dracula. And Blade was the liaison between the Avengers and this community. What was never explained until, like, halfway through the story, like, why is Blade a bad guy when his last series, which just ended the month before, he was fine, is Varney the Vampire had taken possession of Blade. Varney is the vampire, the first vampire in the Marvel Universe. He fought, like, Kull the Conqueror when Kull was, like, King of Atlantis, before Atlantis fell.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Varney had taken possession of Blade. Blade eventually exorcises him, and he's all well and fine. He goes on his merry way. Two things come out of this storyline, though, that have affected the Marvel Universe. One, Doctor Strange gets bitten or whatever and has to give up the title of Sorcerer Supreme in order to get cured of his vampirism, and he gives it up to Doctor Doom.
Okay, I saw something about
that. And this is how Doctor Doom became Emperor Doom, which just ended. And the second thing that happened is Miles Morales got bitten by Blade and became a vampire partially. And he almost kills the Vulture. And it's with the help of his girlfriend and Black Panther, he goes to Wakanda and meets a Nazi, the spider god, in Wakanda, and is able to purge the vampire crap out of him. But he owes Nazi the Spider God a favor. And a Nazi the Spider God is like Loki of African lore. Let's just the least complicated way to explain who he is.
Okay. So,
but less malevolent. He's not out to conquer the world. He's not out to fuck his brother Thor. He's not out to just destroy the world. No, he's a trickster, liar god. But he likes his spider totem people. You know, he doesn't have as much interest in Spider-Man as he does Peter Parker as he does Miles Morales. Probably because Miles is part African. I'm just going to assume that. So yeah, that became a whole thing. Like, the ramifications of that story lasted in the Marvel Universe for a while. So,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to me, too, that you mentioned the vampires took up residence in Chernobyl. I would think that despite them being vampires, that radioactivity would have an adverse effect on them, but I'm guessing not. So that seems kind of an interesting take on that.
Indeed. Well, that is the end of our 5 minutes. Dave, where can people find you?
People can find me at themonitortapes.com or infiniteearthsguide.com. I'm on all the socials as DC Dave Podcast, so look me up.
And you can find me here on Radio of Horror or on the radio show at Sunday nights, Radio of Horror. You can also send me an email, thatradioofhorror@gmail.com. Or check out my own vampire little lore. Vlada, A Dracula Tale, Regender Swap the Cast of Dracula. It's in graphic novel form. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or on my Etsy store, or wherever I happen to be running at a convention or art fair. And we'll be back with another 5 minutes of Blade, which I thought was over, coming up soon, but nope, still got a half hour worth of episodes left to do. So that'd be 2, 4, 6. I have 6 episodes left if I do the math correctly, with 30 minutes left in the movie. Thank you, everyone. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment. We're every happy to listen to your podcast, too, by the way. That really helps the algorithms as well. And thank you, Dave, for coming on for these 2 episodes of Blade on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It's been a pleasure.